यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 19 द परफेक्शन ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल नॉलेज टेक्स्ट 2 ज्ञानिनस्त्वहम् एवेष्टः स्वार्थो हेतुश्च सम्मतः स्वर्गश्चैवापवर्गश्च नान्योऽर्थो मद्विते प्रियः ज्ञानिनस्त्वहम् एवेष्टः स्वार्थो हेतुश्च सम्मतः स्वर्गश्चैवापवर्गश्च नान्योऽर्थो मद्विते प्रियः ज्ञानिनस्त्वहमेवेष्टः स्वार्थो हेतुश्च सम्मतः स्वर्गश्चैवापवर्गश्च नान्योऽर्थो मद्विते प्रियः ज्ञानिनस्त्वमहमेवेष्टः हेतुश्च सम्मतः स्वर्गश्चैवापवर्गश्च జ్ఞానినస్త్వహమేవేష్టః స్వర్గోయేతిష్ట సమ్మతః స్వర్గైవాపవర్గశ్చ నాన్యోర్థో మద్రితే ప్రియః. మాతాజీ, జ్ఞానినః of a learned self-realized philosopher, to indeed aham I eva alone ishta the object of worship, swa artha the desired goal of life, hetu the means for achieving the goal of life, cha also sammatah the settled conclusion, swargah the cause of all happiness in elevation to heaven, cha also eva indeed apavargah freedom from all unhappiness, cha also na not anyah any other artha purpose, mat me rite without priyah dear object. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: for learned self-realized philosophers, I am the only object of worship, the desired goal of life, the means for achieving that goal, and the settled conclusion of all knowledge. Indeed, because I am the cause of their happiness and their freedom from unhappiness, such learned souls have no effective purpose or dear object in life except me. Purport: in the previous verse, Lord Krishna stated that one should ultimately surrender unto Him that knowledge by which the material world is seen as illusion. Material attachments are certainly problems for the living entities, since they are diseases of the spirit soul. One who has contacted a skin disease that causes terrible itching gains only flickering relief by scratching the unbearable source. If he does not scratch, he suffers greatly. But by scratching, even though there is an instantaneous sensation of pleasure, unbearable misery follows as the itching increases. Real happiness is not found in scratching one's skin infections, but rather in becoming free from such disease. Conditioned souls are harassed by many illusory desires, and in desperation, they try to gratify their senses through the hopeless scratching process of illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. They further try to gain relief through material society, friendship, and love. But the result is unbearable suffering. Real happiness is to eliminate completely the itching disease of material desire. Since material desire is a disease of the soul, one must acquire knowledge to treat this disease and eliminate it. Such therapeutic knowledge is essential as long as one is diseased. But when one is fully healthy, such technical medical knowledge is no longer interesting to the healthy person, and he may leave such knowledge to the doctors. Similarly, in the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one need not think continually of one's personal problems, but may rather think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, with love and devotion. Lord Krishna advises in the previous verse that one should eliminate one's personal problems through technical knowledge of illusion. After giving up constant meditation on such problems, one can then become a lover of God. Lord Krishna certainly guides each and every sincere devotee internally within the heart and externally through the bona fide spiritual master. In this way, Lord Krishna gradually trains his sincere devotees to give up their irrational attachment to dead matter. Once freedom has been achieved, a devotee begins to seriously cultivate his relationship with Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky. One may falsely think that just as at a certain stage of advancement, one ceases to concentrate on technical analytical knowledge of illusion. So at another stage, one may give up loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. To nullify such a speculation, Lord Sri Krishna here states in various ways that he is the supreme eternal goal of all truly learned human beings. Indeed, the most prominent scholars within the universe are the sages, such as the four Kumaras, who accept Lord Krishna as their only worshipable object. Because they have discovered that they are eternal fragmental portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, they are not interested in fruitive activities and mental speculation. Lord Krishna awards celestial bliss and freedom from anxiety to his sincere followers who have no purpose or beloved object in life other than the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So there are only 7 days left before the ocean is going to rise up and the city of Dwarka is going to get submerged in the ocean. And here we are reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Lord Krishna is giving his parting message to Uddhava. And Uddhava also wants to accompany the Lord back to the spiritual world. But Krishna instead advises him to go to Badrikashram and perfect his life. And here in this Uddhava Gita, basically, which contains around 1000 verses, he is preparing the consciousness of Uddhava. How Uddhava can actually perfect his life. So it is mentioned that just like the Upanishads, they are like the Jnanakanda section of the Vedas. Similarly, this Uddhava Gita is considered to be the Jnanakanda of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here in this 19th chapter, Krishna has already spoken around 6-7 chapters, and this is like in continuation. In the previous verse, we read that how Krishna is educating Uddhava to in how he can perfect his life. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he mentions that initially the jiva is in ignorance. It is only because of ignorance that the jiva comes here into this material world. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare. And in order to get relieved from that illusion, cultivation of knowledge is very essential. Jiva must practice jnana. But then, once the ignorance is destroyed, those sadhanas are no longer useful. And the previous verse, we saw the example that just like when a person is diseased, he may take so many medicines and so many mantras may be used to cure him. But once he is cured, once he is back into the healthy position, all those gems, mantras and medicine are no longer required. So similarly, one may question that after having got ridden of the illusion, one doesn't need jnana after one comes to the platform of bhakti. So similarly, can one also give up bhakti at a certain stage, certain later stage? That is what is present here in this verse. And Krishna is very emphatically, he is stating in this verse that just like jnana needs to be given up, once a person arrives at the platform of bhakti, but then when once one comes to the platform of bhakti, bhakti is never supposed to be given up because there is nothing that is higher than bhakti. So the first verse of this chapter describes the goal of knowledge, the goal of jnana. What is the goal of knowledge? To ultimately lead one to surrender of the Supreme. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So that is the goal of knowledge, that one ultimately comes to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord. But what is the goal of bhakti? What is the goal of devotional service? And here Krishna is mentioning that the goal of devotional service is devotional service. This is where the buck stops, like they say in English. And Krishna is giving five reasons why there is nothing higher than this. In these five different words, he uses the word eveshtaha, saying that I alone am the object of worship for the spiritual practitioner. There is no object of worship who is superior to me. Swartha, I alone am the expected result. You can't expect any result higher than the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Sammataha, I am the means of realization. Swargaha, I am the cause of the happiness of the devotee. And Apavarga, I am the cause of removal of suffering. And through this particular verse, Krishna is trying to impress upon Uddhava the supremacy of the platform of pure devotional service, the supremacy of bhakti. Way back in the early 70s in LA, some devotees, some disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, they formed a kind of group which was known as the Gopi Bhava Club. They read all those descriptions of the Rasa Leela in Srimad Bhagavatam and they thought that, you know, all those empiric philosophy is okay, but we should also experience these higher rasas. And they formed this Gopi Bhava Club. And when Srila Prabhupada came to know of this, he was so furious that this is just nonsense. You are still on a bodily platform and you want to act as if you are on a spiritual platform. So therefore, try to understand what you have received. Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic upon this conclusion that you have been given the program of devotional service, the process of Krishna consciousness, and still you are wondering, is there something higher than this? Instead, realize your good fortune. Realize what you have got. Example is given that just like gold is there, the product of Krishna consciousness, the product of bhakti is compared to as gold. And currently the situation of the heart, within the heart, is like there is a lot of anarthas. So this comparison is given that the anarthas are compared to coal, whereas the gift of bhakti is compared to gold. Now coal is usually measured in tons. Huge. If we travel by train, many a times we see some, you know, goods carriage with filled with coal coming from Jharkhand, and they're like piled up. And during the course of journey, many, you know, much of the coal may even fall off the wagon, and no one cares, no one bothers. Even many a times people steal even from the wagons. They steal a lot of amount of coal, but you know, people are not so much concerned. But gold is measured in milligrams. If you visit any jewelry shop at the end of the day, in every jewelry shop, they actually sweep the floor, and whatever, you know, they collect, they don't just put it in the dustbin. They actually, you know, kind of scan it for some gold particles or something. So that is how precious, you know, this substance is. So similarly, if we can also be conscious of what we have received, Brahmand Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, out of great fortune, you know, one receives this gift of Krishna consciousness, and the responsibility lies with the person to be actually conscious of, you know, what he has been given. So just like we are very much conscious if we are traveling with a very, you know, a lot of cash maybe on the train, and we keep that cash up there. So you don't just put that, you know, suitcase and you go off to sleep. No, you are very much conscious that here is something very valuable, and you repeatedly ensuring, oh, suitcase hai ki nahi? You know, is there, that piece of luggage is there? Time and again you keep checking. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, as a sadhaka, one should also keep checking. One should keep introspecting. Where am I and how do I move ahead from here? So these are two things which we can be constantly checking in our lives, in our own spiritual lives. So, we'll, of course, this chapter talks about the perfection of spiritual life, and, you know, I don't think many, at least I am not on that stage of having perfected my spiritual life. But then, in the course of this journey, we should be knowing what are the different milestones so that we can understand ki, theek hai, this much of journey has been completed and this much of journey is yet to be, you know, covered. So therefore, as a sadhaka, one needs to, just like when you travel, you take out your mobile phones and you start your GPS, right? Which tells you where you are currently and how much distance is yet to be covered. So similarly, in spiritual life, we can switch on our SPS, our spiritual positioning system. And how can we, you know, reach this level that is being talked about in this particular chapter? So today I am going to discuss about 8 different milestones on this journey towards perfection, beginning from the very basic stage to how we can actually reach this process of, you know, perfected Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service, the perfection of spiritual life, and how we can understand that at each of these milestones, you know, where am I, to introspect about ourselves, and we'll also stop at each of these 8 milestones and see which characters from Srimad Bhagavatam do we find there, who are up there with their flags and exclaiming, look, I'm also at this stage, don't worry. So the very first stage of a person who embarks upon this journey is the stage of denial. A person says, I can't do it. I won't do it. And this is the majority of the world population. A majority of the world population is busy in sense gratification. They have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. They have nothing to do with bhakti. They are just engrossed in gross sense gratification. And the Gita mentions, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasakta Naam Taya Apahrita Chetasa Vivasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Na Vidhiyete. For a person who is deeply engrossed in, you know, sense gratification, it is very difficult for him to understand about the process of Krishna consciousness. And we find the example of Kaliya, how Kaliya was also in denial. Kaliya, he had this huge empire of the Yamuna river, of which he considered himself to be the king. And he had all these Nagapatnis, and he was like just enjoying in that lake of Yamuna. And therefore, he was in this stage of denial. But when, you know, he was purified by Krishna, that is how he actually, you know, in his prayers, Kaliya actually admits that, yes, now on I will also do it. So yes, to come out from the stage of denial, one needs knowledge. Just like when you preach to the, you know, people outside, when a they don't know about Krishna consciousness. You have to speak about them, you have to give them prayojan gyan. That if you spend some of your time, some of your energy, you know, if you devote some of your time and energy to cultivate Krishna consciousness, how will you benefit? How will your life change for good if you, you know, invest some of your time and energy? So with the help of some knowledge, with the help of some prayojan gyan, a person actually starts from this first stage of denial and he comes to the stage of the next stage he comes. Wherein he may know so many things, but still he may be unwilling to actually do something. Even after knowing things, he will be unwilling to follow the instructions. And this is the stage of disappointment, wherein a person says, I know what has to be done, but I can't do it because this is so, you know, enormous. And typically, even in our initial stages of preaching, we have experienced that, you know, when we talk to people, you know, people hear, people listen, and, you know, they appreciate even. But the moment you ask them to start doing something, get into some spiritual practice, we find them at this stage of disappointment. I can't do it. It is very difficult. In this 11th canto, we find Uddhava, initially he is at that particular stage. Krishna gives him the instruction to go to Badrikashram and take to the renounced order of life. But Uddhava, very honestly, he admits this and he says, this is 11.7.16,
So aham mamaham iti moodhamatir vigadhas tvam mayaya virat चितात्मनि सानुबंधे तत्व अंजसा निगदितं भवता यथाहं संसाधयामि भगवन अनुसाधिभृत्यं.
Oh my Lord, I myself am most foolish because my consciousness is merged in the material body and bodily relations, which are all manufactured by your illusory energy. Thus I am thinking I am this body and all of these relatives are mine. Therefore, my Lord, please instruct your poor servant. Please tell me how I can very easily carry out your instructions. So the first stage, a person is completely not willing, doesn't know anything, completely in ignorance, and he is enlightened. But even after being enlightened, he is unable to actually, you know, do something in Krishna consciousness. So such a person, he needs some more help. And when devotees, they give their association to such a person comes from the stage of disappointment, from saying, I can't do it, he comes to the platform of desire, that yes, I want to do it now. Now that you have explained, you know, now that I'm able to recognize this opportunity, how Krishna consciousness is something very, you know, precious, a person, he comes to this stage of desire, and he admits that, okay, now I'll want to do it. He recognizes the opportunity and he is willing to make that sacrifice. The beautiful example of Ajamil is present, that how when Ajamil is, he takes the name of Narayan and the Vishnu Dutas, they arrive, and the Yam Dutas and the Vishnu Dutas, they have a conversation between them. And Ajamil is all the while, he is listening and is kind of totally in awe of what has just happened. And when the Vishnu Dutas are able to convince the Yamdutas that, you know, Ajamil is not your claim, he is our claim, the Yamdutas, they leave from there. And here is Ajamil present with the Vishnu Dutas. And Ajamil is feeling so grateful to the Vishnu Dutas. And he wants to express his gratitude. But that is when something surprising happens, that just as the Vishnu Dutas, they see that Ajamil is about to speak something, they also leave from that place. So Ajamil is kind of confused, but then he admits. He says, Soham tatha yatishyami yata chitte indriyanilaha yathana bhuya atmanam andhe tamasimajjaye. I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life and senses, and always engage in devotional service, so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. So Ajamil is able to understand the situation, where he would have been
and how he has been saved. And by understanding his predicament, by understanding the blessing that he has received from the Vishnu Dutas, he is now making a resolve. He has that desire that yes, now I'll control my life and senses and engage in devotional service. But again, a person even at this stage of desire may just continue to be at the level of desire. He may have understood the importance, but he may not have understood the urgency of doing it right now. And this is where typically sometimes the devotees, even after knowing so many things, even after understanding and recognizing the opportunity, they kind of hesitate, you know, kind of procrastinate. I will become serious, there is no hurry. I will become sincere, there is no hurry. In the Padma Puran, there is the beautiful story which narrated by Narad Muni, how Narad Muni goes and meets this young boy Kailash. And Kailash says, yes, yes, Narad Muni, I totally agree with your instructions, but you know, I have to complete my studies and I have to take up a job. So, can you please come after some time? And the story goes how Narad Muni comes, when he's a boy, then a man, then an old man, and finally he dies and becomes a dog. And still he has excuse, yes, Narad Muni, yes, I have to safeguard the riches that are there. And then after the dog dies, the Kailash becomes a snake. And finally Narad Muni comes that now enough is enough. Now you should, you know, engage in Krishna consciousness. But says ki, I have to, you know, protect all that I have been achieving all through my lives. And finally Narad Muni, he gets fed up and he goes inside the house and tells that there is a ferocious snake right up there and you should go and kill. And that is how. So yes, this is the level of procrastination. A person may understand the importance, but mind may play its game. And therefore, a person is supposed to even keep moving ahead from this stage of desire, of just wanting to do it, to the stage of, you know, decision making, that yes, I will now do it. So typically, if a person doesn't, you know, take this resolve on his own, maybe a jolt of material nature is needed to help him, you know, cross beyond the stage of desire to the stage of making that decision. To the platform of just knowing things, to the platform of, yes, now I will do it. And we see from the example of Gajendra, as Maharaj Indradyumna in his previous life, he was into practice of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, and he even remembered all these things, even in this particular life as Gajendra. But still, things were kind of not happening in a serious manner. I mean, the whole graph of Krishna consciousness was not getting plotted ahead. But then, when Gajendra gets this jolt of material nature, and he is captured by this crocodile, and he is like, with all his might, he is trying to fight the crocodile, but is unable to, you know, come out victorious. Gajendra, he finally realizes that, you know, he understands that now spiritual life is not an option. It is a dire necessity. And he says in the Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 2nd chapter, 32nd verse, Namam ime gyataya aturam gajah kuta harinya prabhavanti mochitum grahena pasena vidhaturavrito apyaham chatam yami param parayanam. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of providence that I have been attacked by the crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. So that is how a person, a sadhaka, on this platform of making this firm decision that I will now do it, he understands that Krishna consciousness is a matter of life and death. For Gajendra, it might have been the matter of physical life and death. But for a devotee, for a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, it is a matter of spiritual life and death. Because anything can happen at any time. So a person finally, on this stage, he takes that resolve, and that is when the ball actually sets rolling. He actually starts engaging in Krishna consciousness, in devotional practices. And he goes through ups and downs in his own spiritual life, goes through different circumstances, and days, months and years keep going by, and a person is like, you know, wondering, is anything actually happening? I know the philosophy, I know the process, and I'm also practicing the process, but it looks like the struggle is never going to end. The struggle is like, doesn't seem to end. And Krishna consciousness looks like a very long haul. And a person questions within himself, till when will I just keep struggling like this? Sometimes we hear this word, midlife crisis, mid-spiritual life crisis. I have been practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years, and you know, chab bhi kar rahe hai, prasad bhi chal raha hai, you know, temple visit is also going on, but then, you know, till when? Till when should I continue? What is the next stage? So this stage is where a sadhaka starts to have doubts. Will I be able to do it? Will I be able to reach the perfection of spiritual life? Will I be able to achieve Krishna in my life? And this is what Srimati Rukmini Devi was having in her mind. She knew about Krishna. She knew about, you know, she had the knowledge of Krishna. She was remembering Krishna day in and day out. And she was even in that urgent situation like Gajendra. But still, she had that doubt. Now, will I be able to achieve Krishna in my life? And she is praying here in 10:53:23. Aho triya mantrita uddhavo me alparadasa na gachati aravindaksho naham vedmi atra karanam soapi na vrittatate dyapi matsandesha haro dujaha. Princess Rukmini thought, alas, my wedding is to take place when the night ends. How unlucky I am. Lotus-eyed Krishna does not come. I don't know why. And even the Brahmana messenger has not yet returned. So she is having this doubt whether I will be able to achieve Krishna in my life. But it is mentioned that wherever there is a sincere and sustained practice of remembrance of Krishna, it definitely attracts the attention of Krishna. And therefore, what is required for a devotee is to be patiently executing his activities of Krishna consciousness and not question the Lord, not question the reciprocation of the Supreme Lord. The example is given just like a person is flying within an airplane. When a person is seated inside an airplane, the airplane is moving very up high in the sky. One may not even feel that, you know, am I actually going anywhere? Am I reaching anywhere? But a passenger is supposed to just be patient and not create ruckus. Not try to, you know, get into the cockpit and, you know, start demanding the pilot, nay, nay, I want to really understand how far I have come. Nay. Just be patient, and your duty is to sit on your seat and be engaged in your reading, hearing, whatever. And in due course of time, definitely you will reach to your destination. So in Krishna consciousness, we know that how the process and the goal are the same. The sadhana and the sadhya are the same. The result of Krishna consciousness is Krishna consciousness. There is nothing different that a person is going to achieve. So the process and the product is very much the same in the practice of devotional service. And for a sincere practitioner, Krishna as the super soul, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyantite. For a person who worships me with love and devotion, I give them the intelligence by which he can come to me. So this is the stage of doubt, and patiently executing Krishna consciousness over a period of time, the sadhaka actually becomes mature. And becoming mature, from the platform of questioning, he comes to the platform of executing Krishna consciousness in a determined manner. And he has this conviction, he has this say that yes, I won't question that will I be able to do it? He has that conviction that, you know, I will be able to do it. No matter what happens, my standard of spiritual practice will only keep increasing. So a person on this stage of determination, he has that understanding within his heart that no matter whether it, you know, things are really going high or low, I will keep on executing Krishna consciousness. And such a conviction is born out of a combination of his theoretical understanding of the philosophy and practical experience of practicing Krishna consciousness, which gives him that conviction. And at this particular stage, this milestone, we find Vritrasur, who is present here. And Vritrasur, as we all know, Vritrasur is attacked by Indra, and there is this fierce fight that is going on between Vritrasura and Indra. And it appears as if Vritrasura is overpowered Indra. But surprisingly, Vritrasura, he gives that confidence to Indra, and he tells him the benefit of the Vajra that he has, and use that Vajra. And he also speaks about himself, what is his desire. And he says, Atho hare me kulisena vira bharata pramathyaiva siro yadhiha tatranrito bhuta balim vidhaya manasvinam padarajah prapatse. If in this battle you cut off my head with your thunderbolt and kill my soldiers, O Indra, O great hero, I shall take great pleasure in offering my body to other living entities, such as the jackals and the vultures. I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma, and my fortune will be to receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narad Muni. So person on this stage of determination actually shows by his example his stability in Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavata mentions, Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyate swarga pavarga narkeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. The devotee solely engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are one and the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. And we also have the beautiful example of Srila Prabhupada, whom we see so determined he was with the conviction that, yes, I will do it. Determined to give Krishna consciousness to the entire world. And such a devotee who is on this platform of determination, you know, with this conviction, is executing Krishna consciousness, that yes, I will keep marching ahead, I will keep practicing Krishna consciousness. Such a devotee, he gathers a variety of inspirations and blessings in his Krishna consciousness. And gathering those inspiration, blessings and experience in Krishna consciousness, he comes to the next stage of discovery, where he understands that, yes, I can do it. Now, saying I will be able to do it is one thing, but then when a person moves from a platform of concrete decision, I will be able to do it still on the platform of one's own decision. Mai karunga, you know, I will execute. But still he has not executed it. But by a sustained experience of practicing Krishna consciousness over a period of time, from having a concrete decision that I will do it, he comes to the platform of concrete conviction. I can do it because I have done it. I have gone through ups and downs in my life, and therefore, you know, I can do it. So he moves from the platform of concrete decision, from the platform of discrimination, to the platform of discovery, saying, I can do it. And this is where he starts achieving the perfection in Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, what is mentioned by the verse, Bahunam janmanam, Brahma bhuta prasannatma na sochati na kangshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. On this stage of discovery, on this stage of concrete conviction, we find Parikshit Maharaj, who is explaining at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, after he has heard Sukadeva Goswami, after he is like, you know, firmly fixed, and he is convinced that, you know, I can do it. There is nothing that is going to stop me. And Parikshit Maharaj, he admits, he says, Anujanihi mam brahman vacham yachami adokshaje mukta kama sayam chetaha pravesya visrijamya sun. Is saying, I have heard from you this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the perfect summary of all the Puranas and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord Uttama Shloka. My Lord, I have no fear of Takshika or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely absolute, purely spiritual absolute truth, which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. O Brahmana, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses unto Lord Adhokshaja. Allow me to absorb my mind, purified of lusty desires within him, and to thus give up my life. So this is what Parikshit Maharaj, he is like convinced, and he is ready to, you know, give up his material body, because he is convinced that I can still remember Krishna even when I don't have this material body. I will be able to, you know, I can do it now. And a beautiful analogy is presented in the same 11th canto, 14th chapter, that just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure, brilliant state, similarly, the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of Bhakti Yoga is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. So this is actually the perfection of Krishna consciousness, the seventh stage of discovery, where a person is convinced, he has that concrete conviction within his heart that I can remember Krishna in all circumstances and I can do it. And finally is the last stage, when a person actually comes to this platform of perfection of spiritual life, and there is this the stage of delight, where a person very jubilantly he expresses that, yes, I did it by Krishna's mercy. And we see in the example of how Narad Muni, right in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni very jubilantly he is expressing this to Sri Vyasadev, and he is mentioning Imam Swanigamam Brahman Avetya Mad Anushtitam Adan Me Jnanam Aishwaryam Swasmin Bhavam Chakeshavaha. O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, by the blessings of Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with transcendental knowledge of the Lord, as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with his intimate loving service. Narad Muni is exclaiming that how he has been a recipient of the Lord's mercy, and how he has achieved this perfection of spiritual life, of intimate loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So similarly, you know, we can also evaluate for ourselves, where are we on at each of these stages, and what will take, you know, what will it take for us to move on to the next stage. And we have the beautiful example of a devotee from the ISKCON family who showed by his own, you know, personal example that he also perfected his spiritual life. He truly completed his journey of Krishna consciousness very successfully. Yes, we are talking about His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. We have the disappearance day of Jayananda Prabhu today. And speaking about Jayananda Prabhu, no matter how much we speak about him, will always be less. He is considered to be a golden standard of how a devotee should be in Krishna consciousness, how a practitioner, how a sadhaka should be in Krishna consciousness. And I'll just touch upon some very few of his qualities, it is mentioned that how Jayanand Prabhu, he was completely enamored by the process of Krishna consciousness. Now for many of us, the process of Krishna consciousness might be a struggle. We know the, you know, to-dos and to-don'ts, and we might be working on them. But many times, at least, it's not a 100% jubilation on our part. But here is a devotee who was completely enamored by the process of Krishna consciousness. I mean, he loved practicing Krishna consciousness. And it is mentioned that he had a firm, he had a very special relationship with Srila Prabhupada. In the sense that he was completely convinced that real association with the spiritual master is by following the instructions of the spiritual master. In fact, whenever anyone would ask him to come before Srila Prabhupada, he would feel very shy. He would feel more confident in being busily engaged in following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. So that is how he had a very special relationship with Srila Prabhupada. He had a great service attitude, full of enthusiasm, expert at everything, whether it is cooking, whether it is deity worship, whether it is going out and collecting funds, whether it is selling incense. He was expert at each and every service and a tireless worker. He is also known by the king of Rath Yatra. He was the person who actually, you know, gave his 100% in obtaining all permissions, doing all preparations and executing the entire Rath Yatra festival, you know, by leading the entire team of devotees. And after the Rath Yatra festival, it is devotees, they remember that how Jayanand Prabhu, he used to personally cook, you know, cakes and pies for each and every devotee who used to be engaged in any, who had somehow or the other helped in the organization of Rath Yatra. And humility was his most prominent quality. He treated everyone as his superiors, even the new devotees. It is mentioned that when he used to go out to beg for the temple, he was as nice friends with the Italian shopkeepers as he was friends with the devotees inside the temple. And many a times after his passing away, you know, many people would just barge into the temple and they would ask that, where is that person, Joy Ananda? And, you know, I don't know how you guys are, I don't know what you are practicing, but if Joy Ananda is doing what you are practicing, it must be something good. And he was dear to everyone, both the gentle and the ruffians. So yes, a beautiful example of Jayanand Prabhu, and we hope and pray unto his lotus feet that may he also bless us with the same kind of sincerity, that we can also with all our hearts practice Krishna consciousness sincerely. So just to summarize what all we discussed today, in this particular verse, Krishna is establishing the supremacy of the process of bhakti, that just like after coming from the platform of jnana to the platform of bhakti, there is not much of a need to, you know, keep hovering on the platform of jnana, but to actually engage in the practice of Krishna consciousness. But then once one has come to the platform of bhakti, there is nothing superior. And one should realize what one has received. After going through all different circumstances of life, going through all different planetary systems, by great mercy of the Lord, one comes to this position of having received this seed of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, one's responsibility is to, you know, introspect and locate himself where he is at, on his progress to the path to perfection and how he can move ahead. And we discuss these 8 milestones on the path of bhakti, beginning from denial, where a person says, I won't do it, just like Kaliya, totally engrossed in sense gratification, not willing to practice Krishna consciousness. But then with the help of some knowledge, a person comes to the next level, but still he is unwilling to do it. He says that I can't do it, on the platform of disappointment. But with some association of devotees, some encouragement from the devotees, one comes to the next stage of desire, being willing to do it, I want to do it. But still, he might be on the stage of procrastinating. Okay, I will do it, but it is very important, but it is not urgent. And therefore, sometimes a devotee might be given with some urgent situation, some jolt from the material energy, so that he comes from the platform of desire to the platform of making that decision that, okay, I will do it now. And that is when he actually starts practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. But then, on the way, going through ups and downs, he may start to doubt that, will I be able to do it for long? Will I be able to achieve Krishna? And we saw the example of Rukmini Devi, that how she also had this doubt, that even though she was totally absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna and totally remembering Krishna, but still she had this doubt. But the solution is that if a person is patient, Krishna will do his part if the devotee is serious and sincere. And that is what will lead him to the platform of maturity. And he will come to the platform of determination, ki, theek hai, no matter what happens, I will do it. And we see the example of Vritrasur, that no matter, even if you kill me, staring to Indra, even if you kill me with your thunderbolt, I will be, you know, my consciousness will not be harmed and I will only benefit with myself. So from the platform of determination, with some experience, he comes to the platform of discovery and he has that concrete conviction within his heart that, yes, no matter what, I can do it now. And we saw the example of Parikshit Maharaj, who had this conviction that even when this material body is gone, my remembrance of Krishna will not be impeded. And finally, a person comes to the platform of delight, where he relishes Krishna consciousness, and he says that, yes, I did it by Krishna's mercy. And we saw the example of Narad Muni. So in a sense, like we have heard so many times from so many devotees, we have heard that you shouldn't go through life, you should grow through life. The similar holds true even for spiritual life. Many a times we just go through spiritual life. But these verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these understandings, they help us, you know, they give us that encouragement that we are not just supposed to drag along the spiritual life, but we are also supposed to grow in our spiritual life. Because the path is perfect, even if the road ahead is not visible. And like this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, mentions, Yan asthaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhavan nimilya vanetre na skhale na patediha. O king, one who accepts the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on this path or on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. That is how perfect the path of Krishna consciousness is. So therefore, you know, if we can just keep reminding ourselves to keep improving and keep moving ahead, I think that is how our life will be a success. Thank you all very much for being present here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki.